Hi, this is Matt Merton, and you're listening to Hanshin Tigers English News.
This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world unite and catch up on the team that sent just one player to the WBC. That's right, Shintaro Fujinami, who got a whole two innings of work in. Congratulations, you are the Tigers' representative. I'm your host, T-Ray. Today is March the 22nd, and this is episode 53. Welcome to the show! Well, seeing as it's episode 53, we may as well talk a little bit about our number 53. Well, the last one we had was a major leaguer who returned from the New York Yankees, and his name was, I believe, Yoshinori Tateyama. He was a relief pitcher that we brought in midway through the 2014 season. He did not do so well, and he retired at the end of the year, I think at the age of 39 or so. Anyhow, before that, and the most popular number 53 in team history, and also his jersey number is semi-retired, I think Tateyama got special permission, is Norihiro Akahoshi. That's right, the Red Star. If you want to know more about him, you gotta go to the website, www.thehunchingtigers.com, look in the team history section, and you will find a write-up about Akahoshi. He is the best base stealer in team history. He came in 2001, won Rookie of the Year, went five straight seasons of 60-plus stolen bases, and, five straight seasons of winning the stolen base title in the CL. He had 60 straight in three seasons in a row, I believe. Anyhow, he had to, unfortunately, retire early because of some serious injuries. In fact, he was forced into retirement somewhat by the club, but also once he went to the doctors for a second opinion, they said, yeah, you know what, your next injury could cost you your life. It was a neck injury, it was a very serious injury, and so he called it quits. Great guy, great athlete. Unfortunately, he had to leave too soon. I mean, he's still, I think, just 40 years old, or 39 years old, 40 years old, so, you know, I mean, he could have been playing up until a couple of years ago if his health had been with him. And actually, he was asked to be part of the coaching staff for Hanshin as well when Kanemoto took over at the end of 2015. However, he rejected the offer partly because of health. So there you have it. He's our number 53. What are we going to talk about on today's show? Well, we are going to look back at the exhibition play that we have missed since the last episode, episode 52. And we are also going to talk about who should make the 28-man roster on opening day, what the batting order should be, what the pitching rotation should be, and so on and so forth. So stick around. We will be right back. Here we go. So our last episode, I believe, came out on March the 16th or so, something like that. Anyways, so we went on the road now on the 17th, and we played against the Chunichi Dragons. We were in Nagoya, and Randy Messenger was on the mound, gave up three runs in six innings of work. Not his best outing, but also not his worst by any stretch of the imagination. Anyhow, we were down 4-0 after seven innings, and then we had a great comeback in the eighth and ninth innings, fueled by a three-run home run by Shun Takayama and a two-run home run by Fumihito Haraguchi. So there were a couple other RBIs in there as well. We ended up winning that one 8-4, so good for us. I mean, you know, a win's a win, and even in preseason play, we like to get those W's. We like to see the guys playing well, so that was a cool one. The very next day, the 18th, we were in Yokohama to play the Bay Stars, and this one was a big-time, low-scoring affair. We had Yuta Iwasada on the mound, six shutout innings, four hits, two walks, eight strikeouts, good on him. And for our part, we scored just one run, and it came on back-to-back doubles in the sixth inning. Ryutaro Umeno, and then Fumiya Hojo with the double down the left field line to cash him in. So 1-0 was the final score in that one. So looking good, 2-0 so far. And then we are going to go to the 19th. When we faced the Yakult Swallows. We put Nomi on the mound for this one, and we spotted him a 3-0 lead Again, this coming on a home run. This one coming from Mr. Yoshio Itoi, the new free agent signing. After back-to-back walks to start the top of the first inning, he slammed a three-run home run to the right field stands. Nice to see. 3-0 lead. However, you know, it wasn't even our pitching that blew this one. It was the terrible defense that did it in this case. Takayama with some poor fielding in the second inning to give up one run, and then a couple of back-to-back errors by Uemoto at second base in the ninth inning to give up another run. So, and then also, pardon me, Takayama's fielding was in the first inning, not the second inning. We allowed another run in the second inning, and then in the ninth, back-to-back errors by Uemoto helped load the bases, and then Mateo plunked a guy. Tie game, this one ends 3-3, and that was all she wrote. And then yesterday, day before yesterday, pardon me, the 20th, this was in, this is at Zozo Marine Park, or Zozo Marine Stadium Field, whatever it's called, against the Chiba Lotte Marines. And we brought Iwata to the mound. And, you know, he didn't look that great, but also, again, the fielding crushed us. So what happened here? They took a 1-0 lead in the third inning. And that was thanks in part to a Toritani error. That's right. He still hasn't figured out how to field from any position in the infield. I don't know how we're going to start him, but we'll get to that later in the show. Anyhow, we brought it back to 1-1 in the top of the fifth. RBI single by Shun Takayama, but they got three more in the bottom of the fifth, and that included a wild pitch on which two runners scored. That was an Iwata pitch in the dirt, and Komiyama, who was catching, let it pass him, and he could not get to it in time to get either of the two runners, so that was a pretty pathetic play on his part. In the seventh inning, we allowed a couple more runs, one from Kuwahara, one from Iwazaki, so they took a 6-3 lead, and then in the top of the ninth, Ryota Arai with a big bat flip, two-run home run to bring it to 6-3. So that was that. We lose 6-3. We lose again in part because of errors, because of poor fielding, because of wild pitches. So there you go. It's starting to worry me quite a bit, I got to tell you. I think, actually, the last podcast came out on the 13th, so I missed the two games at Kyocera against the Buffaloes. So real quick, we won the first one 5-3. We kind of pummeled their starter Brandon Dixon in the first couple of innings, including a Takayama home run. So you've heard that a couple times already. He also has had some pretty decent RBI action as well. And this brought an end to Uemoto's 8 at-bat hitting streak because he hit in his first 2 at-bats in this game. So going back to the couple of games before that, 8 straight at-bats with hits. Wonderful stuff. Anyways, we win that one 5-3. We did give up a home run that was given up by Shimamoto. What? Shimamoto? Home run against? No. It's almost like you guys are listening to a broken record here. Takayama error, Takayama home run, Toritani error, Shimamoto home run against. You know, it's all the same in almost every game, isn't it? Anyhow, that was the 14th of March. And then on the 15th of March, we brought Akiyama to the mound. Akiyama, who has been looking great this spring so far, did not look great in this one. He allowed 8 runs, including he went, it was 6 straight hits against, plus, well, there was a sac fly in between that, but in the second inning, anyways, he allowed just a ton of runs. I think he allowed 6 runs in the second and 2 runs in the third, and they kept him in through the whole thing. Couple more, or one error again at third base in this one. What? Who was playing third base? Care to guess? Actually, it wasn't. Or was it Toritani? Yes, it was. So, yeah, he was replaced by Nakatani later at third base, and we'll get into that a little bit later as well. So anyways, the long and short of it is we played 6 road games since the last time we talked. And on those road games, we went 3 wins, 2 losses, and a tie. Not too bad. The fielding is really concerning. A couple of the pitchers that have been doing really well delivered some real stinkers. That would be Iwata and especially Akiyama. But, you know, those things are bound to happen, so I'm not terribly worried about them. But anyways, that is it. So coming up this week, before regular season play, we have got 5 more exhibition games. They are all in domes. So regardless of whether it rains or not, we are playing 5 games in a row. 2 in Fukuoka against the SoftBank Hawks. That will be today, the 22nd, and tomorrow, the 23rd. And then three at back at Kyocera Dome against the Buffaloes. Those will be the last three of the exhibition schedule. So that's great. Then we get 4 days off before the regular season play begins, and we'll be in Hiroshima for that. There you have it. That is the recap. So next, a couple of things of note. The first one being that I think it was the day of or the day after the last podcast was recorded. Catcher Seishiro Sakamoto broke his hand. Or did I? I don't think I reported that last time. Forgive me. I've got a really poor memory these days. Anyways, must be age or kids or something. Anyhow, so Sakamoto is going to be out for a good long time, and that pretty much means that Umeno is going to be the starting catcher, because it's either him or Okazaki or one of the other scrubs, because as we mentioned last time, Haraguchi is now a first baseman, and he may end up getting some time at catch, but probably playing more at first than anything else. So that would be the first bit of news. The next one is that our friend Eric Campbell, or future friend, he has been starting to, intensify his workouts again after, hurting his wrist on February the 27th. Looks like he is on the road to recovery, but we still don't know how long it's going to be. I don't think he's even taken BP yet, but he is starting to toss the ball a little bit more. He is starting to get a little bit more involved in workouts. But I'm guessing he won't be ready for opening day, seeing as that's only like 9 days from now, and he'll need to get in some reps before he starts playing with the big team anyways. So it's just, I guess it's good news that he's actually working out, but it's bad news that he probably won't be ready. So that is that. The other one, which is a little bit more, kind of an off the field type of thing, is that Ryutaro Umeno got married yesterday, March the 21st. Age 25, he got married to, just a regular lady, no celebrity, anything like that. But the reason he chose that date for his wedding or for submitting the paperwork is because that day would have been his mother's 50th birthday. Now, his mom died when he was in elementary school, I think fourth grade. So, he definitely has that burden that he's been bearing all along in his life. And, it's for someone like me, I don't know how to relate to that, but I can certainly imagine that it must be hard. And so good for him to have, tied the knot, and hopefully that will, just push him along a little bit further, give him a little bit more to play for and to, make the big bucks and make the big plays. If you've been watching WBC, you do know that just actually about 15 minutes ago, Japan was eliminated from play. They lost in the semis to the U.S. 2-1. So it'll be the U.S. against Puerto Rico tomorrow for the championship. Fujinami was our lone guy on the team, as I mentioned, and he pitched a couple of innings against China in the first round, if I'm not mistaken, and that was all the real action that he got. He then pitched in an exhibition game against the Cubs when the team arrived in America. Four innings pitched, three runs against, four hits, four walks, five strikeouts. I think it took him 91 pitches to get through four innings, so really not that good. But apparently the scouts there liked him, but again, I don't know how much weight I would put into that or how much how genuine they were. Because, if a Japanese media guy is going to ask an American scout, hey, what do you think of our pitcher? The scout has enough tact that he's not going to say this guy really blew it, or his control sucks, or there's no way he's going to make it to the majors. So, they said nice things about his pitching, but who knows? Who knows what that means? I mean, I really hope Fujinami can turn things around. Not really counting on it right away, not at the start of the year anyways. I think he still has some work to do. He definitely has some work to do on his control. So that's that. So I'm guessing Team Japan is going to be coming back maybe even tomorrow. I'm not really sure. They might stay and watch the game, the finals, and then fly out or whatever. But hopefully Fujinami comes back, gets back into Japanese time zone, gets back getting used to the Japanese ball, and hopefully he can be ready. I'm hoping he'll be ready for the home opener at Kyocera Dome, because I would actually like to see him pitch on April the 4th, but that has not yet been determined. Today's topic is, who is going to make the 28-man Hanshin Tigers Ichigun top squad roster and who is going to be sent down to the farm. This is, of course, something that the team does not have to decide for about another week, but we would like to look a little bit at this with you. So let me just go over some of the basics. The team is allowed to have 28 guys on the roster. However, on any given day, they're only allowed to put 25 players into the game. So really all that means is that the three most recent starting pitchers will not be available to play, even though they can stay on the active roster. And what that means is if they don't get demoted, they don't have to be down for 10 days off of the active roster, so they get to stay on the roster without having to worry about being demoted, about missing their next start. So 28 guys, and the way that I see it, typically the NPB teams will have six starting pitchers, and outside of that, probably six relievers and a closer, so probably a 13-pitcher pitching staff, and then 15 hitters, so you have two or three catchers, six or seven infielders, and probably six outfielders. That's just my guess, and it's probably typical of what these teams do. However, I mean, they're free to do whatever they want with that. Now, things to keep in mind when you're forming a roster, with the pitchers, you want to have a certain number of lefties, a certain number of righties, probably. Certainly in the bullpen, you may want to have a lefty specialist that may come in for just one or two hitters, as we saw Andrew Miller do against Team Japan today, where he faced Aoki and Tsutsugo. Something like that, right? Then also, you might want to have a guy that's good for long relief in case the starter gets knocked out of the game early or gets injured. You may want to have a guy who can handle mop-up duty, you know, when the game is out of hand late and you just want to get through the game, but you don't want to waste one of your quote-unquote more valuable arms. And then finally, a trend in NPB and certainly maybe even in the majors to an extent, but maybe not as rigid as NPB, is to have kind of three guys that'll relay you to the victory. So they'll typically pitch the 7th, 8th, and 9th, unless the starter is doing extremely well. So you're going to have your two setup guys and your closer. So that's what you got to think about when you're picking your pitchers. As for the hitters, the things that I thought about were, well, first of all, you want to have two to three catchers. Certainly, catcher is a demanding position. It's easier to get hurt. It's easier to tire out. Some catchers work better with some pitchers. Some don't. And then, you know, if a catcher does happen to get injured, or if he, you know, if you want to bring in a pinch hitter, because catchers tend not to be great with the bat, if you send in a pinch hitter, you need to have a catcher to back him up to go on the field later in the game. You want to have a couple guys that maybe are your pinch hitting specialists, speaking of which. And then you also want to look at defensive replacements. And of course, part of that is figuring out which of your players will need to be replaced on that end of the field. Because, you know, for example, a guy like, let me think of a good example. Like a guy like Fukudome doesn't necessarily need a defensive replacement because he's pretty solid in the field. But on the other hand, you know, if you look at a player like, Hiroki Uemoto, our second baseman, you know, he tends to get the jitters a little bit and, sometimes coughs up the ball or doesn't throw very well. So guys like him, you know, you may want to replace defensively. So, you know, you got to have that in mind when you're setting your roster. Which positions are we going to need defensive replacements at? Which players are we going to be replacing late in games? Then also you want to look at player and position versatility. So, for example, a guy like Kento Itohara, who's a rookie, he can play second, short, third. He's pretty good at all of them. Toritani can play second, short, and third. He's not very good at any of them anymore. Nakatani, he can play the outfield. He can play, you know, a corner infield position. Yamato can play the outfield and he can play second base. So you got, you know, if you got guys of versatility, it makes it that much easier to juggle your roster or to shift guys on the field, use pinch hitters in a little bit more freely, I guess you could say. So that's another thing to keep in mind. And then also you probably want to have a good amount of left-handed hitters and right-handed hitters. That way, depending on who you're facing or if they're bringing in a reliever that's a left-handed pitcher, you may want to bring in a right-handed hitter. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to work that way, but, you know, when you play the percentages or when you're playing, you know, baseball by the textbook, sometimes that kind of stuff is important. So all those things we want to consider when we think about our 28-man roster for Hanshin. So this is what I've got for you. I'm going to run through the pitching staff, and then I'll run through the hitters. And some of this may, some of this is just straight up my opinion. Some of it is based on the decisions that I already know Kanemoto has made or the coaching staff has made. So, for example, even though I like Haraguchi at catcher, I'm not going to name him as one of my three or two or three catchers necessarily. Things like that. All right? So, the starting pitchers, of course, some of these are, you know, very clear. Randy Messenger, yeah, he's going to be a starting pitcher. Fujinami, yes. Iwasada, yes. Probably Atsushi Nomi. He has not, you know, made any shift to the bullpen yet in any of the training that's been done, even though he did a bit of bullpen work at the end of last year and even at the end of 2015. It looks like they're going to give him one more chance in the starting rotation. I think he turns 38 in May. So he's getting up there, but I mean, as long as he's putting in six innings of solid work when he does get his starts, hey, why not? Keep him. And then another guy I really think deserves it is Koyo Aoyagi. I really don't think that other teams' hitters have figured out how to hit him yet. He's just wildly effective. I mean, he walks enough guys, but he also, you know, keeps batters on their toes. So good for him. Okay, so those are the first five starters. So who do we got for our sixth starter? I have four candidates: Takumi Akiyama, Minoru Iwata, and Yuya Yokoyama. Now, Yokoyama has been on the farm quite a bit, and he's doing okay, but he did pretty bad the other day against the Carp farm team, so I'm going to say no to him. And Iwata, I really want to go with Iwata, except that I really think, you know, just like Kanemoto has said for the fielders, what he said to Toritani was, look, if you and somebody else, a younger player, are at about the same level, then I'm going to go with the younger one. And so in this case, Iwata and Akiyama are, you know, they're about the same. They're doing pretty good, and they've both had a stinker or two. Of course, Akiyama's a righty, and Iwata's a lefty. But I'm still going to go with Akiyama simply because he's younger, and just to give him that chance, see how he can do. You know, and if he doesn't work out, then we've got Iwata as the backup. So there you have that. Let's look at the relievers now. And first of all, I'm going to name my closer, and I'm going to follow what the team is doing, and that is to put Rafael Dolis as the closer. You know, this is a guy that has a pitch that does, you know, it sinks. You know, he's got the fork ball that, you know, keeps things low in the zone, keeps the ball in the infield more often than not. And I just like what he's got. He's got electric stuff. Looks like his elbow's holding up. So let's put him in for the ninth. And Mateo would be, of course, tops on the list of relievers, the six relievers. So, yeah, Marcos Mateo. And seeing as how we can only have three Gaijin pitchers, foreign pitchers at any time, that means that Mendez, sorry guy, you are not one of them. Now, as for the other guys that I've chosen, I just read today that Ando is going to be starting the season on the farm, but I'm still putting him in my ideal relief squad, simply because he has never done anything to merit being on the farm long term. Last year, he was actually pretty reliable the whole season. But of course, he's getting old too. I think he just turned 39 in December, so you know maybe he just needs to take things a bit slower. But I'll take him anyways. I will take Akifumi Takahashi as my left-handed specialist. He came in last year from the Dragons, and he did a pretty decent job. You know, he's not completely dominant, but when you need those couple of outs, he's been pretty good. Ryoma Matsuda, young guy. He, I think, is 22 or 23 years old, but he had a good 2016, and he's had a really good spring. So bring him, yeah. He would be my fourth reliever. And then we've got two more spots, and I really debated over what to do with these two spots because, you know, there are several candidates, and so it was a really tough one. But I'm going to go a little bit against the grain of what I said earlier. I am going to go with a veteran. That's right, your favorite of mine, Kyuji Fujikawa. The reason is because I don't really see any other right-handed reliever that has got the stuff that potentially could get us out of jams or, you know, just the guy that we could rely on if any of the other main guys can't pull through. You know, I'm looking at guys like Tsuyoshi Ishizaki, who's maybe not quite ready. If he's ready, bring him. I would take him over Kyuji, but I just don't think he's ready. Hiroaki Sayuchi is still, you know, walking guys a little bit too much. I don't think he's quite got the consistency down. And as far as righties go, I mean, those are our main other relievers. So I would go with him. And then as far as another lefty reliever and potential long reliever, you know, we've got some options. Suguru Iwazaki was my favorite heading in, but he has had a pretty rough spring. It seems like he's getting lit up every time out there. Shimamoto is another one that's getting lit up. He's another lefty, so I'm going to say no thanks to him as well. So to me, it comes down to two guys. It comes down to Shoya Yamamoto or Daiki Enokita. And I have not seen a lot of action this spring, but from what I hear, Enokita is having a pretty good spring. And so I'm going to put him in as my sixth reliever setup guy. So there is my squad, my pitching staff. Let's look now at the hitters. So we'll start at catcher. And as I said, they tend to go with two to three catchers in NPB, and I'm going to go with two. And the reason for that is that we have other guys that can potentially catch. You know, we do have Haraguchi, so I'm going to leave Haraguchi as my quote-unquote number three catcher, but actually he's going to be one of my infielders. So I'm going to go with the two catcher system, and that's going to be pretty predictable. Ryutaro Umeno and Taichi Okazaki. Taichi Okazaki, I think he's got pretty good rapport with the relievers, so, you know, that could be a good thing for him. And then maybe he pairs up with Randy. I think probably Umeno will get the opening day job, but maybe further down the road, maybe a more experienced Okazaki might be the guy that they go with Randy. Anyways, that's my catching staff. Now, as for my infielders, I've got Fumiya Hojo, Hiroki Uemoto, Masahiro Nakatani, even though he's an outfielder. Again, we're talking versatility. And he was also drafted as a catcher, but I highly doubt they will put him in as catcher ever. Anyways, he's in my infield / outfield slot. And then just to calm, you know, the hardcore Toritani fans, yes, Toritani is on my first squad roster. I'm not particularly fond of him or the game that he has brought to the field this year so far, or even last year, or even the year before. But when you got a $4 million man, you use him. So I say start him on the bench, but I say have him on the roster. And then for my couple of other guys, the guys that will definitely be on the bench but are definitely valuable, I've got Kento Itohara, fifth round draft pick. He has pretty much earned his, you know, worked his way onto the team this spring for opening day. So I would like to see him there. He's a good left-handed bat. And then Yamato as a defensive replacement. And honestly, Yamato could probably replace anybody on defense and do better than they're doing, even if it's not his natural position. So those are my infielders. And again, within that infield group, we've got Haraguchi, who could play catcher. We've got Hojo, who technically could play second, short, or third. Same thing with Toritani. Nakatani can play first or third. Itohara can play second, short, or third. Yamato can play anywhere. So we've got a lot of versatility there. So I like the look of that infield. As for the outfield, some of the choices are pretty clear and obvious. You got Itoi, Fukudome, and Takayama. I mean, they're probably going to be the starting three in the outfield. They all hit lefty. They all swing good sticks. And two out of three are pretty good on defense as well. The third one being Takayama, who's not a great defender by any means. So I've got three right-handed hitting outfielders, pardon me, to fill out the squad. I've got Taiga Egoshi, who could definitely stand to be a defensive replacement / pinch hitter later in games, or just a guy that could replace any of those three starters if they need a day off, or if they, you know, if a game is out of hand one way or the other, plug in Egoshi. As far as like a sure-footed, surefire defensive replacement, you guys are going to kill me for this. I am saying Shunsuke. Yeah. Probably my least favorite Tiger, but I gotta admit, if you want a defensive replacement who is a specialist in the outfield, I suppose Shunsuke's the guy. Because I look at some of the other guys that we have. Yokota, man, who knows what happened to him with the migraines. Hayata Ito, definitely not a good defender. We have Nakatani, who could be a, you know, replacement / pinch hitter in the outfield. Itayama, he's pretty good, but maybe not ready. Ogata, I don't know if he's ever, I feel like he's kind of like the not quite Ichigun, but maybe too good for Nigun type of guy. And that's it. So those are the only outfielders that we have. And then for my kind of trump card pinch hitter, I've got Keisuke Kano. Veteran guy, he has been the pinch hitter of the team for the past, well, for last year for sure. And before that, you know, he was kind of second after Sekimoto. So I say, you know, give Kano that sixth outfield spot, even though he'll probably never step on the outfield during gameplay. So there's my 28-man roster. If you have any disagreements or any thoughts, any comments, any guys that you would like to see in there in their place, send me an email and let me know. I would love to hear your opinion as well. Let's look now at the ideal batting order for the team. And this one, let me tell you, it gave me headaches just thinking about, you know, what would be the best order for this team. How do you want to set this up? I mean, do you want to do this Japanese style? Do you want to do this Major League style or somewhere in between? You know, in Japan, you always put your quote-unquote best hitter or the power hitter in the fourth slot. And then sometimes you fill that second spot with a guy that's just good at small ball, you know, the sacrifice bunt or the advancing the runner on a ground ball to the opposite side of the field or whatever it might be. So, you know, there's those two trains of thought and, you know, which one do you go with? So this is what I've got for you. I'll give you two scenarios. The first one, maybe I'll give you three scenarios. The first one is the very first one that I thought of. The second one that I'll give you is an alternative to that. And the third one is my ideal lineup once some of these injured guys heal up. So the first one that I came up with was this. Batting first, center fielder, Yoshio Itoi. Reason? Good on-base percentage, good at stealing bases. You want your guy that's going to get on base the most to be up at the plate the most. That's it. Next, batting second at shortstop, Fumiya Hojo. The reason? Hojo always, or almost always, watches the first pitch. Now, if you want your leadoff guy to steal second, you know, you need to give him some pitches to look at. And Hojo tends to not be super aggressive at the dish. You know, he may not be able to bunt him over, and that's fine with me. He may strike out a little bit too much for a number two hitter, according to the NPB ways, but that's okay with me. He's also got a decent amount of power, and, you know, like, if he gets extra bases, Ito is coming home on that hit. So, to me, I like Hojo there. I like batting third, the left fielder, Shun Takayama. Really coming into his own, really starting to develop his power game, hitting to the gap a little bit more, hitting the ball out of the park a little bit more, and he's just a hit machine. So again, you want your guys that are going to hit the ball well and guys that are going to bring guys home. This is another good thing about Takayama is that he is great with runners in scoring position. He was all of last year, and even this spring, he's been awesome at knocking in guys when they're in scoring position. Batting fourth, right fielder, Kosuke Fukudome. What can you say? The most dependable hitter that we've had the past two seasons. You know, he bats around 300. He's going to get you anywhere between 10 and 20 home runs. And given the chance, he's going to knock guys in. And the reason I chose him over number four over my number five guy, first base, Fumihito Haraguchi, is because if you put Haraguchi as the fourth batter, you've got Hojo, Takayama, Haraguchi, three in a row, three guys that had breakout seasons last year. Well, what if one of them or two of them aren't able to match what they did last year, or just, you know, having three inexperienced guys in a row could lead to, you know, some real frustration about getting guys home. So I say put a veteran in between them a little bit. So Fukudome fourth, Haraguchi fifth, and then batting sixth, third base, not Toritani. I'm going with Masahiro Nakatani. He's practiced a little bit at third. If you're going to have a poor fielding third baseman, which I'm not saying Nakatani is, but he's definitely inexperienced, let's go with a guy that has some good pop in his bat. A guy that's been hitting the ball well all spring. A guy that is showing potential to be a power hitter in this lineup. By the way, I read in the news today that, you know, with Fukudome and Haraguchi struggling this spring, there's a possibility of starting the year with Nakatani batting fourth. I don't have a problem with that, but I think he's still a little bit too inexperienced, doesn't have the track record, so I'm putting him sixth. I also think that when you have a guy like that batting sixth, it's going to give the other team's pitcher some headaches because, you know, you can't let down your guard thinking, okay, well, I've gotten through the heart of the order or through the power bats because there's another power bat in sixth. So that leaves two guys for seventh and eighth. I've got at second base batting seventh, Hiroki Uemoto, and then after him at catcher batting eighth, Ryutaro Umeno. So there's my first batting order, and I went into a bit of detail as to why. For this second one, I'm going to do it a little bit more quickly and just say this. This is a little bit of an alternative one because I was thinking, you know, Fukudome is turning 40 in April, You know, maybe he's going to start to decline. Maybe his battle slow down. Maybe his power will decrease. And so having him in the fourth slot maybe is not so intimidating as it used to be. So this is what I compiled. And it is quite different in a lot of ways, but this is what I say. Batting first, left field, Takayama. Second, shortstop, Hojo. Batting third in center field, Itoi. Batting fourth at first base, Haraguchi. Batting fifth at third base, Nakatani. Batting sixth, right field, Fukudome. Again, that sixth batter, giving the other team fits, potentially. And then in 7th and 8th, I've got the same Uemoto and Umeno. So that was that. But then I was starting to think about, well, you know, we don't know how long Campbell's going to be out. He may be back by mid-April. You never know. And then there's a guy that I like at second base better than Uemoto, who also has a decent bat. And hopefully we'll get back, you know, sometime in July or maybe even sooner. And that would be Tsuyoshi Nishioka. So with those two guys in the lineup, listen to this order and tell me what you think. And it is, you know, it's a bit flexible. I was thinking about it. I mean, I could shuffle guys a little bit, but this is what I got. Batting first, center field, Itoi. Batting second base, Nishioka. Batting third, left field, Takayama. Batting fourth, third base, Campbell. Batting fifth, right field, Fukudome. Batting sixth, first base, Haraguchi. Batting seventh, shortstop, Hojo. And batting eighth, catcher, Umeno. Sounds pretty good, especially, if Campbell pans out and if these guys play up to their potential. I mean, obviously, you know, there's going to be injuries, there may be slumps, there may be guys that don't work out as we expect, but that's what I got for my batting order and my starting eight, on the field. What do you think? Give me your thoughts. I would love to hear what you have got to say. All right, one more thing before we close off today's show. Our next episode, which is episode 54, will be coming out maybe a day before opening day, maybe a couple days before. I'm not really sure yet. But I would like to propose a contest to you. The next show is going to be the Predictions Spectacular. So I want you to predict the Central League. I've got several friends of the show who have already agreed to send me their predictions, which will be broadcast on the show. They'll be sending them in audio format. You can join in on the fun. Just send me an MP3 file with your predictions for the Central. Start with an introduction of who you are, and so on. Then go over the teams from 6th to 1st, and explain a little of why you put them in that spot. If you're right, you will win a great prize at season's end. Alternately, if you do not want your voice on the podcast, send me an email with your picks in text form. The email address, thehanshintigers@gmail.com. One more thing, as a tiebreaker, in case two people predict the same finish and are correct, please include how many games the Central League pennant will be won by. All right? So the deadline for submissions is March the 28th at 11:59 p.m. Japan time. Once again, send your Central League predictions to thehanshintigers@gmail.com, either an MP3 file or in text format. By the way, if you bring me an audio submission, you will be eligible for a greater, bigger, better prize than the ones that just send it in text. But I'm probably going to be giving a couple prizes away. So please look forward to that. Thank you once again for your time and passion for the Tigers. You can find this podcast and extra news, articles, and more at www.thehanshintigers.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Just type in the four magic words, Hanshin Tigers English News. Subscribe, write a review, and share with your friends and enemies. Get all the news instantly by following us on Facebook. Just search for Hanshin Tigers English News. Follow T-Ray on Twitter at The Hanshin Tiger. Until next time, keep cheering until Samurai Japan includes more Tigers and we win it all. Have a great week, everyone.